hang up. She says 5 seconds.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you've reached Terry Alter. I'm on Spiritual Integration Radio. This is my first show, so if I have technical difficulties or something doesn't go right, please excuse me. But I'm really, really happy that you've tuned in today. So welcome, welcome to everybody who's tuned in. And the phone number should be on your screen to call if you have questions. It's 347-324-3264. And there's also a chat site available. I'm talking on January 12, 2010, from Marin County, California, just north of the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge. And on board with me is Brenda Galloway, board certified naturopath and energy healer. And Brenda is my very good friend, and she is going to be manning or womaning the chat room for me. So if you have chats, it'll say it's coming from me, but it'll be coming from Brenda. And she will monitor and let me know if people have a lot of questions or comments. And also, you can, by calling that number, then press 1 afterwards on your handset or on the base, and that will show me that you're raising your hand. And then when I come to a pause, which probably won't be for half an hour or so, I can call on people. I'll know that you have to ask something. Brenda, would you like to say hi and maybe give your website in case anybody would like to connect with you afterwards? Brenda, can you hear me? Hello? Hello, can you hear me? Brenda, can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me now? Hello? 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 Can you hear me?
Ah, you hear typing. This is Brenda. You're not going to be able to hear Carrie until she figures out how she can make it happen. Seeing
Brenda,
how
can
it's
you hear
her
me?
Show and I'm just the side person, I really won't be doing the talking. And we're not sure why she's not getting heard. She told me in our practice that she could hear me, but I couldn't hear me through my own speakers, so I thought I wasn't able to say anything. She's trying to call the Blog Talk Radio people to see how she could figure it out. So she has all kinds of cool things to talk about today and fill us all in on how we can connect more to who we are and live a life that satisfies us more spiritually while doing the mundane things in our lives. She's going to teach us how to connect into ourselves and be able to listen to our inner being and take us through a short meditation process that'll help us to connect to our inner selves. But at this time, she's off on another phone call trying to figure out how to get her voice to be heard. So that's where it's at right now, so far. I don't know what to tell you. I'm glad that Tubby Teen 852 told me that she could hear me typing, which means that I think that other people are hearing my voice. At one point, I will be the one she interviews. I'm a naturopath, a traditional naturopath.
Can you hear me now?
The San Francisco Bay Area.
Brenda, can you hear me now?
Energy healing, and I teach healing classes. And so.
Brenda, can you hear me now?
Session on me, but today's not about me.
Can you hear me?
If you have anything in the chat room that you want to talk about while we're here, we can do that. I see that there's three guests on this first session. You hear her?
Brenda, can you hear me?
Cool. I can't, though.
I can't hear me. Can you hear me? Somebody hear me? Can you hear me? Brenda, can you hear me? Hello? Hello, can anybody hear me? Ah! Okay. Brenda, can you hear me? Brenda, can you hear me? I don't hear you anymore. Can you hear me?
So, Tubby Teen said she could hear Carrie. I'm not the one able to hear her. Could you please tell me in the chat if you're hearing Carrie?
Can anybody hear me? Hello, can anybody hear me?
I can hear you through my telephone, yes. Not through my
TV. You can hear me?
TV. Yeah. But only on my telephone.
You can't hear me on the internet?
Yes, I can't.
On.
But
so I wonder what that means.
You. Everyone else is hearing you. So
they are hearing me? People are calling in and saying that they can hear me?
Yeah, one person is telling me that they can hear you.
Oh, okay, cool.
Just go, and I have to hear you on my telephone, which I could do that, no worries.
Okay, so I don't know why they're not hearing me on the computer, but at least the people
No, they're hearing you on the computer.
Oh, they are?
Okay,
because
yeah,
I can't hear me on my computer. Okay, so hello, those people who are here and who can hear me. I'm so happy you can hear me. Welcome, welcome to Spiritual Integration Radio. This is Carrie Alter, spiritual counselor, seer, and inadvertent healer. And with me today is Brenda Galloway, board-certified naturopath and energy healer. Brenda is my very good friend, was my very first teacher, and she is manning or womaning the chat line. And so when you see chats and they look like they're from me, they're really from Brenda. And she will let me know when people have questions, because I can hear Brenda, even though I don't seem to be able to hear myself. And, you know, hopefully this is all happening out there. Today is January 12, 2010. I'm calling from Marin County, California, just north of San Francisco and the Golden Gate Bridge. So the theme of today's show, like the theme of all the shows, is going to be how do we live in a way that fulfills us spiritually while satisfying our more mundane needs as well. And, oh, let's see, I wanted to stop, and I wanted to give Brenda a chance to say hi to everybody. So I already told you what she does. What I didn't tell you was that Brenda knows how to do the very best muscle testing that I have ever seen anybody do. And it's a completely different way from how most people do it. And if you ever wanted to learn how to do it, Brenda is the person to learn it from. And thank you, God, that I learned it from Brenda. So, Brenda, maybe you want to give your website, so in case anybody's interested in that sort of thing. I don't know when you're planning on teaching it again, but one of these days you will, because you do teach it regularly.
I'll tell you what. I'll just, hello. I already introduced myself while you were trying to be heard. So I will go ahead and just type in my website. And otherwise, go for it, Carrie. Have a good time.
Okay. Okay, it'll be on the chat. So I wanted to talk about, because this is the most important thing to me always, and what's important to me in my life is what I always end up teaching, because I can only teach my own experience, because that's the only place where I can find my own truth. And so you need to tune in and see if what's true for me is true for you, and how can you take what I tell you as a truth and just sort of maybe tweak it a little bit so it fits right for you in your life. Always you're going to want to listen to what's going on in your gut that will tell you what's true for you. So what does it even mean when we talk about how do we live in a way that fulfills us spiritually? And really what we're talking about, we could use other words. We're talking about those times when we feel really aligned and a time when our heart really connects, that when you feel full in the heart, then you know that you've made a spiritual connection with somebody or something. So there's a sort of an ease and a fullness that happens. And how can we keep that feeling at the same time that we are going about fulfilling our mundane needs? So chopping the wood and carrying the water, as Ram Dass said so many years ago. And, you know, it was very interesting today, and I want to talk about today's episode is technically about transformation and inspiration in everyday life. And both these things really are two different ways of saying the same thing. Fulfilling ourselves spiritually or satisfying our more mundane needs is the same as having transformation and inspiration in everyday life, because it's all about tuning into being the observer of self so that we can even notice what's going on for ourselves. For instance, I had a bamboo floor put down in my kitchen, and the man did not do a very good job, and so he ended up quitting, and a new installer came and was here today just moments before the show began, because that's how it worked out. And so as I was here hanging out with this man as he's tearing up old bamboo floors, loud noises, hammering, and yet I could tune in and I could see what a spiritual, deeply spiritual being this man was. And so we ended up having a conversation about this very thing, and I told him about this phone call. And I was encouraging him, too, to go forward in life and teach that place that he finds in himself where he radiates from that sense of ease and that full kind of place. And he said, well, he does do that, and he does that with his men who work on his team. And so this is really what we all need to be doing. So it's like every person needs to find that place in themselves that calls them forward, that place where they feel that sense of ease and that place where they feel a sense of fullness. Now, I want to take back the word need because you don't need to. However, the world is in the situation that it's in because we're all spending way too much time in our heads and not enough time stopping and seeing, well, how does this make me feel? Does this make me feel fuller or does this make me feel contracted? So when I get contracted, I often say I feel kind of like a tube of toothpaste that somebody has squeezed in the middle and I'm kind of coming out the top. That's my particular pattern. Some people sort of squish off to the side and some people squish further inside where you can't see them. You know, so we all have some way in which we contract that takes us away from that sense of fullness that the world needs us to do. So if we were all coming from this place all the time, we wouldn't need traffic lights, for gosh sake, because everybody would just naturally stop and let the next person go. It would just happen. But instead we get in our heads and we're in a hurry and we have to make a deadline and be somewhere at a certain time. So the question is always, how can we come forward from this same place over and over again? And so by being the observer of self, by watching your own self, and you go, okay, right now I feel, you know, how do you feel in your gut? How does it feel? How do you feel in your heart? Do you feel expanded or do you feel contracted? Do you feel ease or do you feel a tightness? So always to keep looking and looking, and sometimes people get the feeling that, you know, well, other people can feel like that. Now, remember, the words I'm using are my words that work for me. So, you know, if it doesn't work for you to use the words, you know, fullness in the heart, find, you know what I mean by that sense of alignment. So find the words that work for you, and the idea is that you want to be paying attention. Really, we want to be paying attention. So for each one of us, we're in our own school. So like I'm in Carrie school. And so I want to pay attention. I'm in Carrie school. I'm the teacher and I'm the student. And I want to pay attention. My teacher wants me to pay attention and say, shape up. You know, listen, watch. You're contracting right now. But instead I get caught in the past, in the future, wherever, and I'm not here in the present paying attention. So imagine yourself as both the teacher and the student and the friend. You know, you're all of those roles for your own self. So by taking that time to stay with the self, then we can start to get a sense of who we are. By tuning into that fullness in the heart, which for me I call fullness in the heart, then we get a sense of value because you can just feel it. You don't, it's not an evaluation, well, you have value because you got a good grade in school. It's not like that. You feel the sense of value because that fullness is that spark of divinity that you have tied into. David and I went to at Open Secrets, which is a New Age bookstore in San Rafael, and we were listening to Caroline Casey, who's a fabulous kind of a global and political astrologer. And there was a woman in the audience who turned out to be the author of a very amazing book called Blackberries in the Dream House, Diane Frank. And I was blown away because the book is such an exceptional book, and I haven't finished the book. We're in the middle of the book. And it's the most richly and amazingly written book, different from any other book I've ever read. It's the a love story, the forbidden love between a geisha girl and a Buddhist monk. And the richness of the prose, it's just like you have to keep stopping, going, oh, my gosh, it's like eating chocolate mousse, spoonful after spoonful, just the richest thing you ever ate with whipped cream on it. And when I saw Diane Frank, I thought she would be this very eloquent-looking woman with wearing gorgeous, fancy clothes, drapes or jewelry or what, I don't know what, because of the way the prose was. But she was average height and had brown hair and brown eyes, in my memory anyway, and wearing very unremarkable, just normal clothes. She just looked like everybody else. And the reason I'm saying this is that people often don't come forward with their own specialness because they don't notice that they're special. One of the things that happens when you begin to spend time being the observer of self is that you start to feel your specialness. By hanging out with your own self in your heart, you're also hanging out with this divine spark, and that in itself makes you be special because you're somebody who's not in your head. Normally we've got like our feet are in our head. It's like we can't really feel what's going on in our body. We can't connect with people at the level at which we want to connect with because we're so busy being like on to the next thing and evaluating our own performance and evaluating their performance. So every one of us, no matter how average we look, every one of us has this place of specialness that rises up when you spend time with it. If you don't spend time there, you may not even know that it exists. So transformation begins here, as does inspiration. They begin from connecting in with the self at this level, at the heart and at the gut. So how does it feel to be in your body? Like noticing right now, how does it feel to be in your body right now? Before I asked you that question, did you remember that you had a body? Many of us don't, and I am just right there along with everybody else. So often, not even remembering that I have a body because I'm so caught up with what's next. So always I have to remind myself, I don't have to, but I do, thank you. Remind myself over and over again to reconnect with the body because we came here, we are a soul having a body experience. And so I came here to have this body experience, and some part of me keeps trying to climb out and go back to wherever the soul comes from before it has the body experience. Well, it's like, let's be here, as Ram Dass said, be here now. Let's be here now. Let's be here in this body. So in order to be the observer of self, the thing you really need to learn to do is to drop into your own body. How do you drop down into your own body? So for some of you, this is very basic, and for some people who are listening, this is a new thing, and you may not even be sure what I mean. So let's all just do it together, because no matter how many times you've done it before, you can always be more in your body than you have been. In fact, here's a story I tell many times. Someone asked the Dalai Lama, they said, oh, Your Holiness, please teach us, how do you stay so present in your body? And the Dalai Lama laughed his wonderful musical laugh that he has, and he says, oh no, I just come back very fast. So even the Dalai Lama is not always in his body. So for those of us who think we're in our body, even us, we can be more in our body than we are. And I certainly know that I can always be more in my body. So the first thing is to just stop. To just stop. Just to stop everything and feel that you have a body. I like to feel the back of the body because that's the part I'm normally least aware of. So if you start at your head And just let your awareness run down the back of your head, being present with the back of your head. Do you have hair? Do you not have hair? Are you wearing a scarf? You know, what's going on in the back of your head? So let your awareness be on the back of your head. And letting it run down your neck, having awareness on the back of your neck. See if you can feel how to go from the back of your head to the back of your neck. It goes in. They're not on the same level. The neck is in from the back of the head. Then it comes out again toward the shoulders. Let your awareness be on your shoulders. This is a very quick meditation that you can use as a tool. And I recommend using it quite regularly. Letting your awareness go from the top of your head, down your neck, to the back of your shoulders, and along your upper back, and coming down, letting awareness coming down, dripping like thick golden honey, down from your upper back to your mid-back. And coming down to the lower back. So from the back of the head to the neck to the shoulders to the upper back, mid back, all the way down to the lower back and now to the hips. And let your awareness run down the backs of your legs, whatever position you're in. Let it run down the back of your legs. All the way down. All the way down the backs of your legs. Notice if any areas of your body are a little harder to feel with your awareness than any other areas. You don't really need to do anything about it. It's just part of knowing how you hold yourself in your body. It's just information. And now having awareness along the total back of your body, all the way down, head, neck, total back, hips, legs, even the thighs, all the way down, backs of knees, calves, heels, into the earth. And now being like blotter paper, let that awareness go into the rest of your body, into every cell. This is just a little 5-minute meditation. Into every cell of your body, like ink on a blotter paper, let your awareness go from the back of your body into every cell, till every cell is lit up with your own awareness like a Christmas tree that somebody plugged in all at once, and every cell lit up. And now let it extend out at least an arm's length around your body, filling the whole egg of your energy field around your body. Now, noticing how it feels to be you. Bringing your awareness back to the room. And just noticing how it feels to be you. Okay, open your eyes if they're not already open. So this is a tool that you can use any time that you start to feel contracted. So even when I say the word, because words are so important, to even say the word contracted, I can feel in my body a difference in that state we were just in versus how it felt to be totally expanded into my body and out of my body, in and out of the body, you know. So it's like you go in and then it expands out. So words are so powerful, and that's why we talk about conscious languaging, which are a very important part of running your life. When you're being the observer of self, you can notice when you say different words the very, very subtle effect any word will have on your body. And we were reading The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell. So if you haven't read Malcolm Gladwell's books, every one of them is fabulous. His most recent one is Outliers, where he talks about success. But his middle book, his middle book is called The Tipping Point. And in The Tipping Point, he talks about how Peter Jennings on ABC, during Reagan's presidential election, smiled more when he was talking about Ronald Reagan. And they did studies, and the people who were listening to ABC voted for Ronald Reagan and tended to vote Republican. And Peter Jennings didn't even know, he says, that he didn't even know that he was smiling more, and he disputes that and says, no, but they did several studies, and they even did, counter studies. So something as mild as a smile will influence people in ways that they have no idea that they're being influenced. So we get very upset when we listen to the news media and we feel that they're trying to manipulate us, and we do get manipulated without realizing that we're getting manipulated, and yet we do the same thing to ourselves. And this is part of what awakening is. What does awakening mean? So we are all awakening. We are all in a state of awakening. So to more or less degrees. Whatever degree of awakening you're in now, you're on your way to more awakening. So it's not like a one-time shot. You're awakened or not awakened. It's not like that. And enlightenment, same thing. It's an ongoing process. So paying attention to the words that you use is also a very, very important thing to watch. As just the way I saw just this one word using. Just when I say the word contracted, I already can feel it in my body. That's how important you need to, that the words are. That's why I'm asking you to pay attention to the words that you speak. We will all say words that are not words that we really want to be saying. So we don't want to judge ourselves for them either. We just want to notice. So just to bring awareness to what happens when we say this, what happens when we say that, and know that there is a self-correcting mechanism that gets engaged when you bring your awareness to what is happening. So what are other ways of bringing transformation into your life? Well, one way is having a support team. So we know that if you're in a job, you have a support team. We know that if you're in a school, you have a support team. And what we don't realize is that the people that we surround ourselves with in our daily lives, it's very important to have a support team. And we may not even realize how good a support team we have sometimes, because we're not paying attention in that way. So bringing awareness to the people in your life and the role that they play in your life can help you appreciate them more. That, in turn, helps you to get more value out of the connection that you're having with them. So, for instance, in doing this, my first radio show, I never could have done it without David, my partner, who is always my main support, and Brenda, who's helping me today, and a new friend named Dana, who helped me figure out how to do Blog Talk Radio. So without this support team, I wouldn't have been able to make this show today, which I feel is part of my own individual transformation to the next level, bringing me up, because speaking to everybody from what comes through me is what I always want to do. And now here I am doing it, even though I had this initial glitch where I couldn't get online. And I've actually come in a back door, is I don't know why that my first initial phone calls didn't work, so that's going to take a little sleuthing to figure out why it took me so long to be able to get on. And so I apologize for that. So looking into your own life, when is it that you feel fullest? Just noticing, what are the kinds of situations, you might want to have a pen and paper handy when you listen to this show. What are the kinds of situations where you feel most tuned in to your own self? So transformation comes from fullness of being. We often find ourselves looking for change to come from the outside. So first of all, it has to come from a fullness of being, because that's the generator, that's the gas in your tank. When you go to a healer or a coach or a counselor, they can guide you, but the juice has to come from your own fullness of being. So it has to come from the inside. And then they're sort of giving you the roadmap, but you're the one who's putting the gas in the vehicle. So it's not just putting the gas in the vehicle, it's also stepping on the gas pedal. So often we see people doing one or the other and not both. So I know for myself, I get very do-oriented, and I can jump on the gun and I can be pressing on that gas pedal, and I am just pressing on it, and just my gears are spinning because I'm busy in do mode. I'm up in my head and I'm not taking the time to get down and make sure I'm full of juice. Got the gas in the vehicle. Or you can get people who sit and meditate and they say, well, this is my gift. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then they have certain areas and they just want that area to unfold in their life. And they sit with it and sit with it and sit with it. But there has to be also the pressing on the gas pedal. So, or as Ram Dass would have said, again, the chopping the wood and the carrying the water. That was probably the first spiritual book I ever read so many years ago and still holds true to this day. Very true. So where in your life, taking a look at your own lives, where is there some kind of disconnect where maybe it seems like the gas isn't connecting to the gas pedal? And how can you bring more presence to juice up the vehicle more? So there's like the two things. Do you need more gas, or do you need to press harder on the gas pedal? So is there more groundwork that you need to lay in place, more road work for the car, for the vehicle to drive on, that you need to lay in place in order to have things pick up in your life? So God helps he who helps himself, as they say. So that's what that means. That means the stepping on the gas pedal. So we can fill ourselves with our sense of divinity, but we've still got to do that. So I ask each person to just take this moment and just look right now. If there was one thing that you wanted to change in your life and could change it right now, what would that thing be? If there's one thing you could change in your life right now, what would that one thing be? And now I'm going to be quiet for a moment. And if anybody has any questions about whatever's going on in your life or even a general question, you know, feel free to press the one on your handset. Or I think it works in the base too, I'm not sure. And that will show me that you're raising your hand if you're a caller. Or if you're chatting, type in your question, and Brenda will let me know if anybody has typed in a question. So I'm going to be quiet just for a moment. So, and see if any questions materialize.
So Carrie,
currently,
Kathleen and I are the only ones on.
Okay, all right. So we have no questions. So the other, and there's one other person on the switchboard here. So we have a small, our first.
No, that's my cell phone.
That's your cell phone. So you're on your cell phone and your home phone.
I have to use the cell phone in order to hear you. I have to be on my home phone in order for people to hear me. We'll figure that out later.
Right. Okay, so it's just us. Well, hi.
We had a half a dozen at one point, but they all, you know, went somewhere else.
When I was not being able to connect. Yeah, so, yeah, well, if it's just us, this is an easy conversation. Well, let's just take a minute with our own selves, you know. Looking at what happened for me in getting this phone call and getting this blog radio together, it's pretty interesting how it was like in fits and starts because also this is an archive call, so it's going on an archive and other people may be listening to it later.
Absolutely.
So it's important for me to know, you know, what happened as I try to get this thing going that I've been wanting to do, and it took so many hours of research. And I wonder if people can be listening without us being aware that they're listening. If they can hear through the internet, I think they can without using their telephones, but I'm not really understanding how this all works, so I don't really know. So yeah, so looking at how it came together for me, so in the first place, someone was going to teach me how to do it, and then she made an appointment, and it didn't go through, and then we changed the appointment to, you know, and we kept changing when she was going to help me, and then, you know, right up at the last minute, it turns out that she can't help me at all. So then she, you know, it's like, so I have to just keep surrendering, right? I have to keep surrendering. But at the same time, I'm doing all this research like it's going to happen, even though it's starting to look like it's not going to happen. So I keep reading hours and hours, reading on the blog pages, trying to figure out how to do it. And then she ends up turning me on to one of her friends, and he helps me with this. And again, he spent a lot of time, and I spent time with him. And so then we were finally able to pull it together, but I just the whole time had to keep surrendering and surrendering, but I had to keep putting in the work. And I am thinking about how many times in my life, you know, have I put in the work but not somehow been juicy enough to actually get the ball rolling. So, you know, I think the car analogy is a great one when you think about spark plugs, you know. So it's like you got to have that spark to light that gas. It's not even enough to have the gas, you know, and the gas pedal. First you need that spark. And then there's the whole other thing about divine timing. So somehow the timing wasn't right. And then I try to call in and I can't call in. So it's like it's just over and over again, surrendering, and then surrendering some more. So since we're the only ones on, do you have any feedback you want to give about things in your life and how this might relate? You could say no.
Are you asking Brenda?
I'm asking Brenda and Kathleen. I'm asking both of you, you know, if you have any feedback about this kind of principle, about the gas versus the gas pedal versus the spark, you know, in your own lives.
Yeah, Kathleen's on the internet. I don't know if she has a voice.
And she's chatting. She can chat and answer if she does.
Yeah, if she wanted to chat and answer, she could. In the meantime,
yeah.
Absolutely. It's interesting to say that if you have gas, that doesn't mean anything's going to happen. And if you do put on the gas pedal too much and you didn't refuel the tank, you're going to get on empty, and that's definitely things that have happened to me in my life when you're fast-forwarding it. And then you realize your gas tank's empty and you crash and burn. Yeah, so it is good to pay attention to what you're doing in your life. And like you say, like drop into what's going on with yourself and take care of your needs.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because as you were saying that, I was thinking about how if you press on the gas too much, you know, sort of counterintuitively, then the engine floods, right? And then you can't start it at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can, I think that I've done that a lot in my life, you know, as a person who's always doing. I think I've done that a lot. Yeah. So it was, it's exciting to think about who I might be having as guests coming on the show. So I'd like to have you, Brenda, on at some time, and I'd like to have David come on and talk about his Holistic Healing Center for Affordable Healthcare, where he's really trying to change the face of healthcare in America so that people can afford their healthcare. And I would love to invite Kathleen to come on and play the gong. When Kathleen plays the gong, you don't know if you're listening to dolphins or whales or ETs or a musical instrument. It's like it just totally transports you, and I really find that's incredibly have a healing effect on my body when I go and listen to Kathleen play. So I hope to have her come on sometime. And I would love to have, I'm going to invite my friend David Spiro, and I don't know if he'll come on, but hopefully he will. And he does fabulous meditations where you can feel the Shakti come across through the air. And it's like everybody that I know is a healer, so I can just keep thinking one person after another of all different modalities. There's some people at David's clinic who I'd like to come on and to invite them to come on. Some of them, I can't even remember the names of the modalities, but they are unusual in healing modalities. So we're going to have a lot of guests in the future. And I got contacted today by somebody who, I didn't get a chance to look at her website to see what she does, but somebody who was suggesting that she'd like to come on. So anybody who's listening, if you have a practitioner that you go to who you think is a fabulous practitioner, who you think this would be a good way for them to be presented, please give them the website and have them call or email me, and we can talk more.
Okay, you can allow Kathleen to talk now because she called in with her telephone number, and she said she's waiting to say something.
Oh, there she is. Look at that.
I also think that it would be great for you to have a solo act again because, you know, this was good. You know how you talk.
Oh, good. Yeah, it was a little disruptive because I had so much trouble getting on. It kind of threw me off center, but that's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. What do you do when you get thrown off center? And doing that little 5-minute meditation was fabulous. Okay, Kathleen, I'm trying to click on you to see if you can talk.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
Here I
am.
But
I hear you on the telephone. I thought I would hear you on the computer.
Oh, well, that's because I called on the phone.
I did see
a place where it said to click on the computer, but, you know, it took me such a long time to figure out how to even write. Brenda said hi, and I spent the rest of the time logging in. And right. And then at some point you did that lovely in the body meditation, and I felt better and better. And right in the middle of that, I tried, and I could write suddenly. but I thought...
Yeah, so there's going to be a little, some working out of kinks on how to do all this.
Yeah, well, if it was me up there instead of you, I'd be doing exactly the same thing.
And I said, I can only hear Kathleen through my cell phone and not through my computer also.
Oh.
Same with Carrie. I can only hear Carrie through my cell phone and not through my computer.
Really? I'm going to walk over to my computer because I've walked into the other room where the phone is. I didn't want to have both going on at the same time, the same room. Let me just see.
Right. That's right. You're not supposed to.
Yes, I can hear myself on my computer. I just laughed a few minutes ago.
Oh, really? Okay, wait. Let me turn my volume back on. I turned it off because I was having weird beeps come, and I just realized that my entourage is open. Let me quit entourage, and I can turn my volume back on. Here we go. See, this is just such a learning process. Okay, now talk, Kathleen.
Okay, well, talking. I could hear myself on my computer just fine.
I don't hear you on my computer at all.
And I don't hear
you
on my computer.
Well,
so,
but I hear me on my computer.
Did you press some button on your computer?
Me? I didn't touch it. I walked into the other room and called on the phone.
Yeah. So I guess I have to find out why some of us can hear and some of us can't. Because when I... before I decided I wanted to do this, I listened to somebody else's blog cast, and I didn't call in, but I could certainly hear her on the computer. I was listening to an archive. I could certainly hear it on the computer. I didn't have to phone in to hear her, so I just don't know.
Well, it sounds like this was the trial blog talk.
Right. This is
to know what things. What is that funny piece of paper that says, This life is only a test. Something.
Yeah.
If it wasn't, you would have been given specific instructions. Isn't there some fun?
No, I never heard that one. Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well,
there is one other person on the computer again.
Oh, good.
And we
need
to know.
Yeah, welcome, welcome.
We need to know if that person can hear all of us.
Yeah, ask her if she can hear three people, the three of us. Tell her we're trying to figure out how to work this thing. Kathleen, would you like to share about the whole vehicle thing, about how you might have found that applicable in your life?
Well, you know, I woke up this morning asking myself a lot of questions about doing and being and asking myself what I wanted in my life. So we're on the same page. It's not exactly the same analogy, but I was so clear that I had to just relax and go into a deep state of peace. And just be very clear on what it was that I really deeply wanted, and then to pay attention. The big thing for me was paying attention to what was around me, obviously really needing to be in my body in order to do that, and then inspired action would become evident.
Mm-hmm.
Because too many times, you know, as you were saying earlier, and Brenda, my intellect's tried to figure out what to do. And it's come up with a lot of great ideas, but it actually works much better for me if I pay attention and stay in the present and just notice when I have that inspiration to act. And that keeps the tanks full.
Yes, good point.
Go back to your car analogy.
Yeah, I know. I love the car analogy. Yeah, see, that's a good point, inspired action, because Brenda and I are working on teleconferences, and one of these days we will indeed do teleconferences. And in the meantime, all of a sudden, here I am doing Blog Talk Radio. It's like it came out of nowhere. Just one of my clients had done Blog Talk Radio. She's a psychic. and she hadn't done it in years, but I, for some reason, all of a sudden, decided to listen to one of her archives. And then while I was on there listening to it, I went, oh, look, you can just click on this sign up. You can register right here to see, and I wanted to see more what it was about. So I clicked on the sign up just to see more what it was about, but they wouldn't let me register unless I also put a time in. And that's how I found myself doing this Blog Talk Radio. It's like one thing just led to another that led to another that led to another.
Yeah, that's exactly
and it was, it was that same thing, that inspired action. And the thing that's interesting is that it's so similar but different from the teleconferences. So it's like we think we know what direction we want to go, and maybe we do eventually, but it's like in the meantime, this is in a very similar area, and so it's still it's pulling me toward it, but it isn't actually, you know, the original idea, but it's a whole new idea that wouldn't have occurred to me on my own. And that's what happens with surrender, is that you get ideas that really are a better idea for the moment than what you might have thought of on your own. So that's why we always want to surrender and surrender and surrender some more.
Yes.
Well, plus you were saying stuff about your support team and how they can help you and how they have ideas as well.
That's right.
We have about 4 minutes until the hour.
I know.
Up,
I was
if you wanted to wrap
that.
Up,
we have 4 minutes. So I think this is my time where I'm supposed to, I don't know how long it takes to thank everybody for tuning in. So I'll start my thank yous.
And invite till next week.
Yeah, to thank. And we're going to do this again next week, and hopefully I will be able to figure out how to do it next week without any glitches. And I'm just really happy for anybody that did tune in and for anybody who's listening to the archive. I'm so happy that you're here joining us, and I apologize for all the glitches. And if you enjoyed the show, please tell your friends. And if you know any good practitioners who you just think are fabulous, where you think they would like to, like I said before, just have them contact me. And I hope next week to have a surprise guest, but I may just instead be by myself. So each week that's going to be probably up for grabs. As always, the theme will always be, how do we live our lives in a way that fulfills us spiritually while satisfying our daily needs as well? So please do tune in again. So that whole goodbye took 1 minute. I have 3 minutes left.
Well, can
so
I
another time, goodbye.
Can I congratulate you on your first Blog Talk Radio show?
Yes.
After all you did, you and Brenda, the whole way through, wasn't like you couldn't ever get on. You did get on.
Right.
You know, and you made it through to the end almost. And you did a fabulous meditation. I feel my feet. Remember how we'd go walking and you'd say, are you feeling your feet? I'm standing here feeling my feet, feeling infinitely better than before I listened.
Yeah, well, good.
As one of the support team people, I like to say to people, you know those things that you put your shoes on? Those belong to you.
That's Brenda. Brenda always has a good sense of humor. Yeah, well, in the remaining minute or two, I want to just urge people to read all of Malcolm Gladwell's books, because you will be amazed at how much you are being influenced right and left by things you have no idea are really controlling your behavior and your thoughts. So when I was talking about Peter Jennings, those people in the study swore that the reason they were voting for Reagan was because of his idea, but it was very clearly noticed in the research that they voted because Peter Jennings smiled when he talked about Reagan. It's like you just have no idea how much you're influenced. And again, that, you know,
or how much you are influencing others.
Yes, but even more, how your language is influencing yourself. Yeah. It says I have less than 60 seconds left. This is where I would have the music going now.
Good job.
Next
good
week
job.
Of music. 10 seconds, they're telling me. So next week we'll have Carol Isis's fabulous music leading in and leading out.
Nice.
With her blessings.
Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you so much for joining us. Bye.
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 Next week.